hello everyone, and welcome back to another episode of the Deeper Podcast. I'm Austin Slater, that's Dan Kinnis. It is so good to be with you all, especially a little housekeeping. I was just looking at some of our statistics, you know, because every now and then I'm like, how are we doing? And, you know, we're not quite up to the Joe Rogan level of audience interaction yet. We're not there yet. But we're making massive strides. So when we started doing this, when it was just audio only, we would have about 7 to maybe on a good week, 12 people listening every week, which is honestly more than we had thought. And it was enough for us. But now that we've added this video thing, we have on average about 50 people listening every single week throughout the wide variety of mediums. So thank you to all of you who have joined us with this. This is honestly a huge honor. It's a privilege. We love getting to do this. We're glad that it's something you all seem to love as well. And so just want to also remind you, if you ever have questions or things you would like me to ask Pastor Dan in these, do feel free to reach out. We do take listener questions. Just shoot me an email at aslater@friendshipcrc.org and we'll get that going. But Dan, how are you doing this week?
I'm well. Yeah, I just want to take the opportunity to say thanks, Austin, for what you do and setting this up, getting it out every week, thinking of good conversation topics and questions to ask. So I get to talk and respond to those things, which I love doing. But this is certainly a team effort. So, yeah, sure. Thank you for that's great to hear that there's something beneficial. I better up my game now.
We're going to start having like little trivia about us scattered throughout.
Right.
You know, like. Yeah. Anyways.
Doing well. Thankful for a little more sunshine and a little bit warmer weather. Oh, we're getting into February now. So
yes. It hit 40 degrees in Kalamazoo yesterday. And I about near put on my flip-flops and shorts. I mean, like, that is my...
It feels pretty nice after...
I don't know. And I don't know what it is, but... And I don't know if any of y'all resonate with this, but 40 degrees in spring feels so much warmer than 40 degrees in fall.
Absolutely.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyways.
Yep.
very glad it's warm. And Dan, we're making our way through this series now.
Yeah. Only one more after this coming week. More. Right.
That's yeah. Easy. Yeah. Which means then, oh gosh, that means Lent is coming.
Lent is, yeah, coming out off of that. Yeah.
This year is flying by. But why don't we slow down a little bit? We'll go back to what this last week was. So, Dan, what did we talk about this last week?
Yeah, so we are making our way through the Nicene Creed in fairly quick fashion. We're going to end up having 5 weeks, Lord willing, on that. But this week we were up to the portion that speaks about the Holy Spirit. And so, obviously, a lot of the creed focuses on the person and work of Jesus, understandably so. That was the main question driving the council when they got together and all that. But it's interesting, coming out of the council, they had some statements about the Spirit, or basically just one. But by 381, when this was finally put together, they felt the need to say a little bit more about the Holy Spirit. I would think, which is telling, that we need to hold up the divinity of the third person of the Trinity as well, the Holy Spirit. So we talked about some of those statements in the Creed, the giver of life, and of course, this equality with the Father and the Son and being worshipped and glorified in that way. And we tied in with John, the Gospel of John, chapter 14, where Jesus is promising the gift of the Spirit, to see how that, of course, some of those words point to the statements of the Creed, and Jesus gives us a little more fullness of a picture there of the Spirit's work and his continued work in the world. So we talked about the truth aspect, the Spirit of truth. We talked about the connection with peace or shalom. We, of course, talked about that title, the paraclete or advocate that Jesus uses there to talk of the Spirit. What does that mean? And different aspects there. And there's way more we can go into. We didn't even get into any of the, you know, he's a deposit guaranteeing what's to come and all the rise. There's a wealth of, we can talk about the Spirit's work all the time. So good to get into it. I felt that. As we talked, you know, maybe some of you talked to me afterwards, and it was good to spend some time just, again, being in awe of God's gift of the Spirit to us and being reminded of his work. So
yeah, and the Spirit being so mysterious, it's hard to understand. It's always good to revisit. One of the things that we talked about, again, is the Spirit being an advocate for us. Paraclete was the word, I believe.
That's the Greek, yeah.
And that's really cool. And, you know, we do see that throughout the rest of Scripture, talking about, you know, the Spirit advocating for us. We also see Jesus advocating for us. And so I guess maybe this is like way too in the weeds,
Never. But, this is deeper, right? That's what this is for. But like, why? I guess why are they both considered advocates before the Father? And then further down with that, why do we even need one of those parts of God to advocate to God the Father? Mm-hmm. When God the Father knows more than even, I mean, Jesus even says, like, you know, no one knows the day or the hour. Only the Father knows that. I don't even know that. Mm-hmm. So what is the need for an advocate when the judge already knows?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a good question. I love that title. I kind of tied it in the one who stands with us, right? And kind of this one who's close to us, who's, you know, is a best friend kind of person. But Jesus even says in the passage, you know, I'm going to send you another advocate, implying that he is already their advocate, their friend. He's going to say that in the Upper Room Discourse. One of the things that's been helpful for me to think about the work of Jesus and the Spirit in this, to answer the first part of your question, is Jesus is our advocate in heaven. He's interceding at the Father's right hand for us right now. But the Spirit is doing that work here on earth with us. And when Paul says in Romans 8 that the Spirit intercedes for us, thinking about prayer with groans that words cannot express. So that piece of not even just, you know, in heaven, as we try to understand where that is, what's Jesus is there, but the Spirit's with us as well, even on our end when we're trying to, go through the sufferings we're going through and express our needs to the Lord and the pains we have for others. The Spirit is advocating for us, helping us, aligning us with God's will as part of that implication there. And, the second part of the question, you know, why do we even need that? Well, we admit some of the mystery, of course, as we've talked about the Trinity. And, it's not like, well, God the Father doesn't know what's going on, but the Son and the Spirit do, or vice versa. But just this work of God as a whole, that he is with us now and he's working for us. It's not like even, well, I sent Jesus, he did that stuff at the cross and, you know, he rose to life. And so now you just kind of got that. I'm leaving you to it until I'm ready to do something else. No, he's constantly working with us and working for us to help us grow. And I think, again, in Romans 8, the whole point is to be grown into the image of Christ. That's the goal that he's leading us to. And so he's working at that now through the Spirit here on earth, helping us to see God's will, leading us in the truth through the work of Jesus, who we know and trust. Mm-hmm. He's one of us already in heaven, now interceding for us, like coming to the cross for us. So he's perfecting our prayers, as it were, too. And so just, so that we can be in the presence of God the Father. There's mystery to it. You know, again, you can get so three that you forget the one, or vice versa.
Right. Well, and I almost wonder if part of it is also meant to be a example of how this is supposed to work. Because God could just be like, Jesus died, I know everything, done. You know, but that's not the God we serve. We serve a God that's relational. And, you know, relational with us and relational with himself. Again, like once you get into that Trinity thing, like how much separate, how much alike, it gets weird. But like seeing, you know, God in all three of his aspects working with them gives us a model to follow also of like, right, this is something we need to do together. We can't just do this faith thing on our own.
Yeah.
You know, community. We need to be relying on that community element.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, and you could feel that when Jesus in his ministry talks about it in John, you know, my Father's always working. I'm working too. Like we're all working and the Spirit's going to be working. When he says, I'm going to ask the Father, he's going to send the Spirit. It's basically like you have the fullness of God within you, right? It's not just a token thing.
Yeah.
It's really cool. It's also well beyond us, and which is great. It's part of the mystery and the wonder of who God is.
Right.
And yet we can take great comfort that he still is working, and we can take a picture from that. Like, hey, we're all one body, but we are differently gifted and we have different routes. And the Spirit is called and it does one thing. Jesus does this work. The Father's doing this, but it's all, you can't even separate it out how close it is. So,
right.
Perfect example.
Yeah. One other element of the Spirit that I'd love to hit on is something you kind of talked about a little bit and you earlier even mentioned, you know, we talked about the Spirit being the one who stands with us, you know, and the Spirit kind of being that part of the Trinity that is constantly with us, you know, interceding for us, watching out for us, you know, convicting us, doing all of that work. And as I kind of was hearing that and thinking about it, it kind of reminded me a lot of what the pop culture concept of a guardian angel might be. Mm. You know, there is this spiritual being accompanying you at all times that is keeping an eye on you and protecting you and making sure you're safe and helping, you know, and all of this stuff. I guess, is that...
Is that kind of a pop culture misunderstanding of what the work of the Spirit does? Where does that come from?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think there's some connectivity there. It's not a non-scriptural idea, right? So the idea of kind of the personal guardian angel, mm-hmm. I think, largely flows from the Gospel of Matthew 18.
Okay.
Jesus there is talking about the little ones and not causing them to stumble. And then he makes the reference, you know, their angels always see the face of God in heaven. I think it's Matthew 18, 10, 11, somewhere in there. That's probably the main verse that brings out at least this personal idea. But clearly in Scripture, I think it's taught across Old and New Testament that one of the roles of God's angels is to minister to God's people. Go to Psalm 91 in Lent for planning to go into Jesus' temptations there in the wilderness. And that's a passage the enemy tries to use to trip Jesus up. Well, it says there in Psalm 91, his angels are going to protect you. They're going to guard you, right? So that's clearly there. Hebrews 1 is another place where the author there writes about the work of angels in ministering to God's people. So I think that's there, whether it's this like, we each have one, you know, very personal angel. You know, there's obviously lots of stuff that's been written and thought of about that. But the whole idea is just in general, even God's servants, the angels, are ministering to us. And so I think you could see, again, yeah, how does God work this out? But the power of God enacted through the Spirit, too, to command, right, his servants in that way to look after us as God's people, to help us in a variety of ways. I think this, what we're talking about, though, probably goes a little step further to say this is actually not even God sending his servants, but God himself with us, right?
Yeah.
And I think that's Jesus here, I think importantly, is saying, you know, not I'll command my angels concerning you, which is powerful enough, but I'm going to send you. This is why it's better that I go to heaven and then I stay with you so that the Spirit can come, because now we talk about this. Now God can be with his people in an even more powerful way than even with Jesus, because he is in a human body and it's limited. He can only be there in Jerusalem and not in Galilee at the same time. Whereas now, as Austin and I are talking here, the Spirit's with us. You're listening there. The Spirit's with, you know, and that's amazing. Sometimes we just pass by that.
Yeah.
And so what Jesus says really hits home that this is for your good. You know, that I go and now the Spirit can come and be poured out and we can be with you in this way, in a new, fresh way, really, in a more powerful way. So I think there's some connection. The whole idea of God, again, is working for us, caring for us, seeking to guide us into the way of Christ. And he uses his servants for that, the angels. That's part of their ministry. But also he himself would go with us, too. So, yeah, how that all works together, again, it's mysterious, as we would say, above our pay grade. But just a wonderful thing to know. This is how much God cares for us.
No, that's helpful. Thanks, Dan. Changing track here a little bit. We've talked about this before. So if you've been a longtime Deeper listener, you've heard us kind of wrestle with this for a while. But it's always worth revisiting, I think. Because, you know, here at Friendship and in the Reformed traditions generally, and especially just in American evangelicalism writ large, we are really comfortable with the Spirit working quietly. You know, the Spirit can be the still small voice. It can be, you know, we look for the Spirit when we're like, okay, what should I be reading in my personal devotional life? You know, or look for that stirring to, hey, maybe I should go talk to someone. Mm-hmm. And that's an area we're very comfortable with this, with the Spirit, it feels like. An area we are less comfortable with the Spirit is in some of these more visible expressions of the Spirit. And this is something you do get in other traditions around, you know, the country and around the world for sure. But you do see a much more, I don't know, visible slash explicit, quote unquote, outpouring of this, whether that's, you know, again, speaking in tongues or some of these more like physical miracles,
right, healings,
healings. There's so much in that, and we are not comfortable with it, and we don't really see it.
Yeah.
Or at least it seems like we don't. So I guess my question to you, Dan, at this point would be like, why isn't that an element of the Spirit that we see often when it does? It's very clear in Scripture that these are gifts of the Spirit.
Sure.
So why don't we really see that? And then why are we so uncomfortable with that when it's explicitly said these are gifts of the Spirit?
Sure. Yeah, some of it comes from just tradition and what you've known your whole life and all that, of course. And, you know, there's a lot, obviously, to talk about here potentially, but, you know, there's been a whole line of thinking that certain gifts and manifestations of the Spirit were for a certain time, right? And some of that is very, at least very close, adjacent to our Christian Reformed tradition, right? That this, when the church is first starting after the work of Jesus and God's, he gave more these powerful manifestations of the Spirit to draw people in and to know. But then that was for the time of the apostles and through their work. And now, of course, the Spirit is still working, but not maybe in those ways, because we've been given all that we need to know Christ and to know a saving faith and to come to him in that. So there's that whole piece. So I think that's part of that conversation where that's been in play. People have talked about it. And then there's a great deal of, you know, sometimes suspicion about some of these more outward works. And I think that enters into maybe the pulling back too. And unfortunately, right, you do get misuse of that. Even, you know, even in scripture, you see some people who are able to do some things and then like, oh, but they want to use it for monetary gain or different things. And so still in our day and age, you see, oh, this, what's going on here? This looks like a powerful thing. And so there's some suspicion of like, is this real? Or is this really for God, even? That kind of thing. So that's where maybe there's some pulling back, too.
Sure.
Nonetheless, I think in our tradition, and I was convicted of this even before I was in seminary, just reading through the book of Acts, that God works in powerful ways, right? And why would we, you know, speak in ways that would limit, even to say, well, like of course, God does things as he likes. And we might see general movements. Even in scripture, we see there's times when more miracles are happening. Right. So in the book of Exodus, right, with that going on, God's doing all kinds of stuff. And then it's more quiet for a while. And it, people get to the promised land. God's always doing things, but not. And then Elijah and Elisha come. And all of a sudden it's like people are rising from the dead. And, you know, all these things are happening. And then Jesus comes, of course. So you can see sometimes there's particular times when God is really working through his Spirit and maybe really trying to get our attention in certain ways. But to say that, you know, we can't say like, well, God wouldn't do that now.
Right. That's debasing himself. That's
right. And just like to limit, God can do as he wills. His power, of course, is unmatched, as we said. So yeah, you go through it. God is able to do that and still can and does do powerful things through his people, through the work of the Spirit in around us today. And I believe it's always with the purpose of trying to help us be aware. I'm here. I'm the truth, right? I've done these things for you in Jesus Christ. And so even if we have a moment where God is going to do something powerful through us, that always needs to be in mind. That's what keeps it in check. This isn't about me.
Yeah.
We see that in the book of Acts with the apostles there. Why do you look at us as if we did this? This is about Jesus. It's in his name. Paul and Barnabas, like, we're just ordinary men like you guys, right? We're not Zeus and Hermes and God, like, this is about the one Lord God, right? So that always has to be there. That's why God would do these things, right? He's trying to get our attention. Mm-hmm. Paul even talks about that when he talks about some of the spiritual gifts like tongues and those things, that largely these very more visible manifestations are for unbelievers. So there's power. They're not just talking. There is real power God has. Yeah. And in the church, often we need these gifts of, you know, quieter, quote unquote. But, like, you know, he talks about preaching and teaching. He talks about encouragement. He talks about, you know, praying for each other, these things. These are the gifts, right, that sustain the church in so many ways that are edifying for the body. Not that the others cannot, but that's why Paul says, hey, if someone's speaking in tongues, we also need somebody to interpret. That's it's for the body.
Yeah.
And there could even be a personal experience of that too. So I think that's why traditionally we're a little more pulled back. I mean, that's some of that's been in our tradition. We're maybe culturally just a little more suspicious. You've lived, you know, across the world. Even when I spent time when I was doing an internship in Brazil, I just took note of just a more heightened spiritual awareness culturally. Not that, you know, all of a sudden there was this manifestations of a spirit I'd never seen, but even just in the language of prayer, and it was much more cognizant of the spiritual realm than maybe what I grew up with.
One of the ways that I've heard people talk about this is that we, as, you know, especially Americans, live in a very disenchanted world. Mm. You know, we live in this world where everything, you know, this is how technology works and this is how science, and it's, we like having these, like, we can explain everything.
Yeah.
And so for us, when we get to these topics of the Spirit, we've disenchanted God. Mm. So like, yeah, he doesn't or can't or won't really, because like, we like to think of ourselves as so advanced. And a lot of around the world, a lot more people live in a world that is still enchanted, that does say, you know what, we're going to leave space for things we don't understand.
We expect it.
And we can expect it to be different. And I do think that cultural, I do think there is something to that cultural, like, we like to think we know why everything works. And I think that's just a cultural pride we have.
Yeah.
Whereas other people are a lot more okay saying, I don't know, and that's okay, and I'm going to let God move in that I don't know space.
Yeah, I think that's good. And like, and that's part of why we need the whole church, too, because we all have blind spots. I mean, you know, we could receive from help us how to be a little bit more aware and probably have a little more faith in the working of the Spirit in powerful ways. And others could learn from our traditions or our culture, too, maybe on some things. And on the other end of it, you know, as far as, you know, maybe some of our care with, you know, Scripture or like putting doctrines together like the nice, you know, that kind of thing. That's, we need the whole church because you're right. I think in a lot of ways we expect what we expect.
Yeah.
And we're not even really like, oh, can that really happen? For me, I think one of the expressions sometimes where you come to, like, what do you think the Spirit still does that? It's like, well, I've kind of seen too much.
Mm.
I've seen things that are, yeah, it can only be God's work and his power work. I mean, it's not just like, well, that just happens. Even sometimes you get a privilege in my role to be in that with people as they go through medical situations. And so you sit with doctors and you hear these things and the doctor's like, I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm like, well, so what do you do? So here's people with lots of explanations, lots of degrees. Like,
I got no idea
what happened here. I don't know. Keep praying. Or have you, man, that, like what doctors say, like, well, yeah, you know, people must be praying because I'm not sure how this occurred.
Mm-hmm.
So that those kind of things, it's like, oh, yeah, it's a reminder we need to have faith. And even in Jesus' ministry, this is not directly connected with the Spirit. Well, it is, of course. But as he's going around, you see that where people were kind of expecting, like, things can happen here. He was doing miracles. And in his hometown where they're kind of like, we know you. And that's maybe getting into our cultural blind spot of, well, we know how the world works.
Mm-hmm.
We know.
I haven't thought of us as Nazareth before, but I think that's a really good way to think of it.
You know, we kind of block ourselves because we think we know too much. And that's what you were saying.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I love that. Well, thank you for that insight, Dan. What are we talking about next week? What have we got to look forward to?
So, yes, this last week with the Nicene Creed, just the last few statements, which really gets into the church. You know, we believe in one holy Catholic church and talk about one baptism. And so just, yeah, talking about the church together. And going to go to Ephesians 2, verses 11 to 22, where Paul is speaking to a church of Jews and Gentiles now made one. And that's the beautiful picture, that word one appears multiple times in the Creed and here specifically with the church and how we see God at work. So just seeing how God brings us together, why that unity matters, what it means for our witness. And what's the role of the church as well? Like what is God doing here? I mean, why is he calling us together in this way?
Right.
And we talked about that a little bit today, just the community of it. And but it's a wonderful thing. We were just acknowledging that this morning with the group of guys getting together for Bible study, like what a gift this is.
Yeah.
You know, we were talking about some hard things, you know, in connection with the passage we were reflecting on, and be able to do that together to encourage each other. I saw it after the meeting, the conversations continue. Yeah, that's the church. And so what a gift God's given to us. So it's good to look forward to talking about that too.
Awesome. Well, I'm looking forward to that. Thank you, Dan, for your time. Thanks to all of you again, all 50 to maybe 100 after this. Who knows? We'll see. But thanks to all of you for being a part of this. We love this community. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord.